Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. I had a really good message prepared for today, which you can watch on the internet later. I feel like I need to do something that I don't often do, which is to free text, not preach on one of the lectionary readings, and also to talk about something I wasn't prepared to talk about today. And the situation that I want to talk about, I think, is relevant to what Jesus says in Luke chapter 21. Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes, and in various places famines and pestilences, and there will be terrors and great signs from heaven. But before this, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. This will be your opportunity to bear witness. Settle it, therefore, in your minds not to meditate beforehand how to answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be delivered up even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and some of you they will put to death. You will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head will perish. And by your endurance, you will gain your lives." I'm skipping to verse 25. "And there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth, distress of nations and perplexity, because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, straighten up, raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." When I saw the video on Wednesday of people breaking into the United States Capitol and drawing guns on police, I was horrified, and I was sickened to my stomach. And from a theological standpoint, as a theologian, I thought, wow, this really proves the truth that we've known all along, which is that America struggles with the fourth commandment, which tells us that we should honor our father and our mother. And what this means is that we should fear and love God so that we do not despise our parents and other authorities, but honor them, serve and obey them, love and cherish them. But as an American citizen, I have to admit that for most of Wednesday, until I came to church that night, I just felt like high anxiety, sick to my stomach, like the kind of shortness of breath and dizziness that you get when you get a panic attack. Maybe some of you can relate to that. And until I came into God's house and I heard his word that night and worshiped him and prayed and praised with the people of God in this place, I was just completely unsettled. Now, why am I talking about this? I know that ever since the day after Election Day in November, that many people, not all, but many people in our congregation have been very unsettled. And I know that there are differing ideas and thoughts out there about whether or not the election was rigged or whether or not it was carried out properly. I'm not here to make a determination of that. I am a fellow citizen with you, and I don't claim to have knowledge of all things. But what I do want to say is that the feeling of fear, the feeling of panic and terror and anxiety that's gripping so many people these days is not from God. It's not from God. And regardless of what happens on January 20th, or even what happens tomorrow or this afternoon, we need to remember that Jesus is Lord, Caesar is not, and Jesus is still on his throne. And to borrow a term from our Presbyterian brothers, he is still sovereign. He's still in control for the appointing of nations and kings and for the downfall of them. Now, whether or not you think that the election of Joe Biden is good or bad, or whether it's for ill or for good, it's irrelevant to what I'm going to talk about. But what I want to talk about is the fact that we as Christians living in this country need to live with hope. We need to live with more joy than our neighbors, and we can't allow wars and rumors of wars, as Jesus mentions, to cause us to be afraid. When Jesus is speaking of the end times in what's often called the mini-apocalypse of the Synoptic Gospels, so Luke 21, Mark 13, I forget what chapter it is in Matthew, probably 22 or 23, but Jesus in all of those teaches about the end of the world. He starts by talking about the destruction of the Jerusalem temple in 70 AD and then telescopes forward to the end of time. And what's remarkable about all of that is that he tells his people, his disciples, us, the people of God, not to be afraid. Indeed, he says that when we see these things, the wars and rumors of wars, I'll get to those rumors in a minute, when we see Christians being persecuted by governments, when we see Christians being betrayed by family members that don't believe in Jesus, we shouldn't be afraid. Indeed, Jesus says, when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, for your redemption is drawing near. Jesus tells us that even when the world is ending, and regardless of how you feel about the election, do we really think that the world is ending because of it? Regardless, when the world is ending, Jesus even says, not to be afraid. Do not be afraid. He gives various warnings in here to not believe that the things that people say when they say the Christ is over here or the Messiah is over there, and that rumors of wars and wars themselves should not even terrify us. Not even the signs in heaven when the sun is turned to darkness and the moon is turned to blood, when stars fall out of the heavens. Even then, he says, when these things begin to take place, straighten up, raise your heads, for your redemption is drawing near. As the people of God, we are not people, in the words of Paul's letter to Timothy, we have not been given a spirit of fear, a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, a spirit of love, a spirit of self-control. And I think that we are losing that self-control and allowing ourselves to be driven by fear. With full respect to the people of our congregation, over the last couple weeks, and especially culminating today, I've had a lot of people telling me all kinds of things that, supposedly that as of right now, President Trump is hiding in a bunker somewhere, that there's going to be a big power blackout and all the cell phones are going to go down this week, all kinds of stuff like this. And with full respect to people that have told me that, it sounds like rumors to me. It sounds like conspiracy theories, and it doesn't sound rational. It sounds like fear. Now, can I predict the future? No. There's only one regard in which I can predict the future, and that's to tell you that everybody in this room is going to die unless Jesus comes back first. If we're the last generation, we won't die. And I can tell you that Christ is coming. And until that day, the world will only get worse. And still he tells us not to be afraid, to pay no mind, to straighten up, to lift our heads, for our redemption draws nigh. In the Psalms, we're given a picture of the man who fears Yahweh, the man who fears the Lord. And I can't find, you know, I wasn't planning to prepare on this, so I don't have chapter and verse for all of this, but I'll dig that out for you later and post that somewhere where you can look it up. So you can search the scriptures and see if the things that I speak are true. But we're told in the Psalms that the man who fears the Lord is not troubled by bad news. He's unmoved by it. He's not troubled. It doesn't unsettle him. It doesn't topple him. Because the man who fears God knows that the Lord is in control of all things. And that even the evil that happens in the world, even the evil that happens in the world, God will work to good for those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Now, if you go home today and go on the internet and decide that because of what you read or see there, you need to go and buy a gun or stock up on canned goods or do any of those things, I'm not going to stop you. But having a gun or canned goods or a nuclear bunker somewhere is not going to save you from the end of the world and Jesus coming. The only thing that will save us when everything is falling apart is to believe and trust in Jesus Christ, our Savior. The one who died on the cross to forgive our sins. The one who rose again victoriously, conquering death, and promises that same life to everyone who believes in his name, who clings to the cross, who, as I said earlier in the children's message, that's what my sermon was originally going to be about, goes through that death and rising in baptism. No matter what happens, if we become a colony of China, Jesus will still be Lord. If the world ends in coronavirus 2.0, Jesus will still be Lord. If the world ends in a nuclear exchange because of terrorists that press the wrong button with stolen Soviet missiles, if the wrong guy is put in the White House, or gal, Jesus is still Lord. And he says, don't be afraid. Stand up, raise up your heads, your redemption is drawing near. In the name of Jesus, amen.